Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. Thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my readings of poetry written by Amy Carmichael. We often hear people say, "We're all getting older." Well, what could be more obvious? We are all getting older, whether we're 2 years old or 90 years old, and we're all getting older at exactly the same pace. That doesn't always appear to be true, but it certainly is true. And some of us are not getting older. We have long since got there. And I'm one of those, an old woman. And I want to thank God always for each stage of my life. I love Joseph Addison's hymn, "When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise." And then there's a stanza that says, "Through every period of my life, thy goodness I'll pursue. And after death, in distant worlds, the glorious theme renew." The day comes when we suddenly find ourselves old. And I must admit, when I look in the mirror, I really don't think that that's a familiar face that looks back at me. That can't be I. Well, but it is, of course. And if I look at photographs, I'm startled each time. But do I mind being old? No, I do not. And I do thank God for all the years of His unfailing faithfulness. And when we get old, what are we supposed to do? Sit in the easy chair? Tool around in a fancy mobile home? Go out to Arizona or California or someplace to play golf? There are a lot of choices that we have in America today, and we're being told quite frequently and quite insistently that it's time to slacken, time to relax, time to do something for myself. You know, I scan the scriptures in vain. In fact, I ransack the scriptures in vain to find any place where it tells me that I'm supposed to do something for myself, or have fun for a change, or do my own thing. Well, I have a lot of fun just doing the work that God has given me to do. And I have a tremendous lot of satisfaction in the assignments that God has given me. And I have found that doing the will of God is the most joyful thing in the world. When I fail to do it, I don't have that joy. We've been talking about Amy Carmichael, Irish missionary to India, who at the age of 63 had a serious accident. She broke, I think, both legs, twisted them, and broke her ankles, and as a result was confined to her room for the rest of her life, 20 years. It's not difficult to see at least a glimpse of the sovereignty of God in allowing that accident to take place, because if she had not been confined to her room, she would never have written about 20 of her 40 books. Those 20 were written after the accident, when she was either in bed or barely able to get to a chair in the room. I had the privilege back in 1984 of sitting in Amy Carmichael's bedroom in South India, sitting at her writing table, surrounded by her books, looking at her mottos on the wall. And one of the mottos was, "In acceptance lieth peace." And what was her earnest prayer in her old age and helplessness? This is what she wrote, a poem called "Till the Stars Appear." "Make us thy laborers. Let us not dream of ever looking back. Let not our knees be feeble hands be slack. Oh, make us strong to labor, strong to bear, from the rising of the morning till the stars appear. Make us thy warriors, on whom thou canst depend to stand the brunt of any perilous charge on any front. Give to us skill to handle sword and spear, from the rising of the morning till the stars appear. Not far from us, those stars, unseen as angels, and yet looking through the quiet air, the day's transparent blue. What shall we know and feel and see and hear when the sunset colors kindle and the stars appear? That's one of my prayers in my old age. Let us not dream of ever looking back. Let not our knees be feeble, hands be slack. And of course, there are many listening to me, I suppose, who are quite helpless. Just a couple of weeks ago, my husband and I saw Johnny Erickson Tada again, a dear friend, a lovely woman, as so many of you know. A woman who is physically almost helpless. She can move her arms. She can't use her hands. She uses her mouth to hold a paintbrush, to do the beautiful paintings that she does. So when we say, let not our knees be feeble, hands be slack, of course, none of us would choose feeble knees and slack hands. But if that's what God has permitted you to suffer, if you are crippled up with arthritis or rheumatism or any number of other things, that does not mean that we can dream of ever looking back. And we can pray, oh, make us strong to labor, strong to bear from the rising of the morning till the stars appear. To me, it's very sad that there are so few women who are Titus 2 women. It says in Titus 2, 3 to 5, that the older women are to teach the younger women in the church and to teach them to love their husbands and to love their children and to stay home. Not many women are willing to do that today. They're not staying home. They're out doing all sorts of other things. I challenge you older women, let's say anybody over 35, can consider yourself an older woman because there are 20-year-olds who are looking up to you. And if you're 20 years old, there are 10-year-olds who are looking up to you. So all of us have a responsibility. But I know that I have a special responsibility in being really old to try to call out to younger people, trust God. He will never let you down. Follow Him. Obey Him. And here's another one from Amy Carmichael. Make us thy mountaineers. We would not linger on the lower slope. Fill us afresh with hope, O God of hope, that undefeated we may climb the hill as seeing Him who is invisible. Let us die climbing. When this little while lies far behind us, and the last defile is all alight, and in that light we see our leader and our Lord, what will it be? Amy got her inspiration for that poem from a Swiss guide's epitaph. They died climbing. And so she prays, let us die climbing. When this little while lies far behind us, and the last defile is all light, and in that light we see our leader and our Lord, what will it be? I was greatly blessed in having a father who taught us to climb mountains. We had the great privilege of going each summer to Franconia, New Hampshire, where we had a beautiful family home, which is still in the family. And we were surrounded by the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire, and we climbed Mount Lafayette many, many times, Bald Mountain probably dozens, if not hundreds of times, Cannon Mountain, Kinsman, Liberty, Moosalock, and, of course, Mount Washington, the tallest mountain in the Northeast. And what a thrill it was when we would get above the timberline and suddenly spread out before us on all sides just unbelievable vistas of beautiful New Hampshire and Vermont scenery. We are climbing, aren't we? Let us be God's mountaineers. The last poem I'll read for today is called Not in Vain. Not in vain the tedious toil on an unresponsive soil, travail, tears in secret shed over hopes that lay as dead. All in vain thy faint heart cries, not in vain, thy Lord replies. Nothing is too good to be, then believe, believe to see. Did thy labor turn to dust? Suffering, did it eat like rust till the blade that once was keen as a blunted tool is seen? Dust and rust, thy life's reward? Slay the thought, believe thy Lord. When thy soul is in distress, think upon his faithfulness. Though there be nor fig nor vine in thy stall, there be no kine. K-I-N-E, that means cattle. Though there be no fig nor vine in thy stall, there be no kine. Flock be cut off from thy fold, not a single lamb be told, and thy olive berry fall, yielding no sweet oil at all. Pulse seed, wither in the pod. Still do thou rejoice in God. But consider, was it vain, all the travail on the plain? For the bud is on the bough, it is green where thou didst plough. Listen, tramp of little feet, call of little lambs that bleat. Hearken to it. Verily, nothing is too good to be. And she's referring in this poem, I'm sure, to Habakkuk, who said that even if there are no cattle in the stall, no figs on the tree, no grapes on the vine, yet will I rejoice.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.